may or may not know that before the Tech on Demand podcast, I hosted another one called STEM, Insider Tips for Greenhouse Pros. And although the technology was different, using an old school mic, recording on Skype, doing all sorts of file converting, the topics were important and the guests were top notch. Once every couple weeks, I will jump back in time and re-release a STEM episode. In this Tech on Demand podcast rewind, we're discussing trials that you conduct in your greenhouse, evaluating new varieties that could be added to your mix in future seasons. My guest is Jason Twiddell, a Ball Seed sales representative with a ton of industry experience. Jason spent 13 years in greenhouse production with three different growers producing spring bedding and seasonal crops, specializing in vegetative propagation and all aspects of managing greenhouse production. Then he moved to the technical support side of the business for a few years before becoming sales and marketing manager with Ball Floriplant and Selecta One, companies that sit on the cutting edge of new genetics in the vegetative world. For the past few years, he's been a Ball Seed sales rep in Ohio. In all of these roles, he developed a keen understanding of the importance of trialing. We'll explore all of this and more during this episode. Jason digs into the why, what, and when of trialing in an effort to highlight the importance of this critical piece of the growing puzzle. With margins getting narrower and the tolerance for inefficiency and shrink dropping to near zero, trialing and testing new genetics before replacing existing varieties is more important than ever. Jason, welcome back to STEM.
Thanks for having me back, Bill.
So we haven't talked in almost a year. It's really amazing. Time flies when you're having fun, and I guess you've been crisscrossing North America and Central America looking at crops, and I've been dealing with garden centers and working with Ball Seeds, so I think I would pretty much safe to say we've both been really busy in the past year. So in your view, how was the 2018 season for the growers that you worked with in North America? Did you pick up any lessons or spot any trends when it comes to production?
Well, I think overall, it was a pretty good season for growers. You know, I mean, it's pretty much all about weather in spring, right? So certain regions had better weather than others, probably had better springs, but man, it seems like spring was a long time ago since we just wrapped up the 2018 season in poinsettias. But, you know, I think as far as production or trends that I kind of spotted or noticed, it was growers trying to find more plants that that really work well for the consumer, you know, so putting emphasis and time into getting products that are that their customers are going to be successful with. And then, you know, labor, we talk about it all the time. Labor and efficiencies are really important. And as far as production goes, growers are just trying to find ways to keep that in check as much as possible. And I'd say maybe the last thing would be that quality is still king. You know, it's still the most important factor for growers is having really good quality product going into the stores.
It's actually exciting to hear, and I've heard that from a number of guests in probably the last 6 months, is really taking a hard look at that consumer performance, factoring that into the selection of varieties. And then, yeah, obviously labor is so critical. And it's great, good to hear quality too, because, you know, that I tend to think that word is a little bit overused, but it's not when it comes to sell through and really reducing shrink at retail. So those are all excellent things to hear. So how about any products that perform better than you had expected for growers and retailers, or anything that really sticks out in your head in terms of product?
Well, I would say that, you know, as far as product assortment, I mean, it's still really strong in combos and mixes and sort of that do it for me decoration type of product, where, you know, whether it's hanging baskets or mixed containers, that's still, I think we're still shifting that direction. You know, less and less people are actually out in the garden digging and planting stuff. You know, and for us, I mean, Calibrachoa is still huge. It's still the single biggest genus that we have, you know, as far as vegetative annuals go. And then, you know, I think what I mentioned before, that, you know, we're seeing a bit of a shift towards stuff that growers and consumers know work, right? Whether that's, you know, something like Angelonia or Lantana or Coleus Sun Patience, you know, things that the consumers know that they're able to be successful with, even, you know, in the heat of summer, working all the way through the year and getting all the way to frost in the fall. I think those crops that have utility and longevity, I think are everybody's kind of steering more towards that.
That makes sense. And you talked a little bit about the combos and mixes and that do it for me. Do you think, I mean, is this impacting breeding too? I mean, going back to the breeding level, are breeders and product development companies, I guess, creating or looking for products to fill these different formats?
They are. I mean, I think it's important that the product works for the grower, right? We put a lot of emphasis towards trialing for that, making sure it works in the greenhouse. But we put a ton of effort at Ball Floor Plant and Selecta to making sure the product's going to work for the consumer once they get it home. So you have to combine both of those, I think, in product development and trialing. If you don't, then you're only, you know, solving for one part of the supply chain.
No, I guess, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And you actually provided a perfect segue in talking about trialing for the performance in these different configurations. So let's move on to trialing, since that really is the crux of our conversation today. So in your travels and experience, are you seeing effective trials taking place at greenhouses these days? I'm going to guess this probably isn't a yes or no question. There's probably a range, but have you seen greenhouse trials getting better over the last decade? How are growers doing in terms of trialing plants before they make changes to their assortment?
You know, I would say that growers are they're putting more emphasis on trialing, I think, for sure. You know, it used to be trialing was primarily focused around, you know, what's new. Let's trial the new varieties for this year. I think you're seeing more of an emphasis on trialing to solve problems with labor issues, you know, cost savings, efficiencies that way, trying to find ways to, you know, increase profit margin through trialing in your production processes. But then also, you know, the variety selection process of, you know, do I need a better yellow marigold? And if so, you know, trialing, you know, different options out there to try to solve that problem. So I would say growers are getting better at it, you know, over the last few years, but it's still something I think we can all put even more emphasis on.
Perfect. And that's definitely why I wanted to get you on STEM, was to talk a little bit about that emphasis and some of, I guess, some of your ideas and tips for growers as they look to either enhance or implement a trialing process. So you touched on a little bit trialing to solve problems in various different ways, and not just trialing the brand new varieties. But why should growers trial plants beyond just the obvious goals of learning more before they shift, I guess, large amounts of their production to something brand new or to a crop that's new to them?
Well, I think all trialing, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all in the manufacturing process, right? All growers are manufacturing a product. And I think it's really important to emphasize continuous improvement every year, trying to get a little bit better than you were the year before. And, you know, trialing really comes down to trying to solve a problem. You know, what didn't go well, you know, or what do I want to improve upon from the previous year? And so I think for growers, you know, before they move, you know, big amounts of production to something new, whether it's a new process or a new chemical that they want to use for something or a new variety, then it's really important to, something we talk about at Ball is walk, crawl, run. I should say crawl, walk, run. Yeah. Got those mixed up. You know, but if you start off with a small piece, trialing just a little bit, and then implement that in a bigger way before fully implementing a trial, I think that's the right way to do it. In order to help you improve your processes or your product assortment.
So you talk about kind of an incremental improvements from year to year in terms of, you know, thinking of it in manufacturing terms. What are some of the things that you trial to improve? You talked about maybe chemicals or new varieties, but when you talk to growers, what are some of the most common, I guess, challenges they're trying to improve on year to year?
Well, I think I mentioned it earlier, you know, whether you're trying to find a better yellow marigold or red geranium or, you know, oftentimes it's just trying to find a better variety. But there's lots of other reasons to trial. It's a production process, or maybe there's a new chemical on the market that you want to trial in your facility to see how it works. You know, all of these different things, you know, as far as the plants go, are important parts of trial processes. But the other thing is production processes, right? Like whether you're trying to improve the flow of the product in your production barn, or how efficiently your workers stick cuttings on your sticking line. You know, working through and evaluating those production processes are also ways to go through trialing and improve your facility overall.
And it kind of sticks out to me that a lot of this probably comes down to the fact that you have to measure performance in these different areas too, which is probably a whole nother topic for a whole different day. But I guess to improve any of these processes, especially, probably a lot of it comes down to knowing what's going into those processes in the first place. So that's good. I'm glad to hear that more and more growers are thinking along those lines. So how do you think trialing relates to or equates to quality? Because we talked about, you know, picking a better variety. Earlier you mentioned the fact that quality is king. How does trialing either impact or hopefully equate to an improvement in quality?
Well, I think that's, you know, that's sort of the fundamental reason to trial is to improve the quality within your facility, you know, especially on problematic crops or crops you've had issues with. I mean, as a grower, you always have that, you know, one or two crops you wish you would have done better with over the course of the season, and as long as you're identifying those and working towards improving them, then you've got sort of this continuous improvement process that you need to have, you know, just to continue to get better. And I think that just drives overall quality up within your facility. And again, it can be trying to find a better of, you know, one specific variety, or better production process or shipping process, or, you know, there's all kinds of ways for us to trial and get better within your growing facility. But I think it all equates back to quality of the product overall.
That makes a lot of sense, especially knowing that quality leaving your greenhouse has so many, I guess it just dominoes all the way down the line. So when you talk about trialing leading to improvements in production methods or that process, can you dig into that just a little bit and maybe share any examples where you've seen this in action or seen trialing, I guess, result in better process when you talk about greenhouses as manufacturing facilities?
Yeah, so I mentioned the sticking line, right? I think that's an important process where there's obviously a lot of labor involved. You know, we're starting to see growers move towards automating that process, whether it's the auto sticks machine that transplants cuttings for them, or the ISO, you know, robot arm that picks up the cuttings and sticks them in the trays. You know, obviously that's a complicated process, sticking cuttings. There's a lot of labor involved, and so just finding better ways to do that, whether that's a progressive sticking program or some kind of lean flow production process that you use, you know, focusing on that production process where there's a lot of labor involved, anything you can do to improve that obviously comes back to the bottom line. You know, so that's maybe a production process example. You know, the other place where growers do a lot of trialing is in the facility, in the greenhouse, and culturally what they're doing with the crops. And as someone who's a propagator for a long time, we used to spend a lot of time on rooting hormones, and how do you get these cuttings off mist as fast as possible by getting that callus and getting those roots out as quickly as possible. And so we used to do a lot of trialing on rooting hormones. You know, what's the right rate? What's the right timing of the application or the type of application to do? And you know, especially on certain varieties that are hard to root, we all know, you know, certain items in the greenhouse and propagation that are challenging to root, maybe something like a scovola that takes a little bit longer to get roots on it. You know, just trialing different methods to speed that process up will absolutely improve, you know, the quality within the facility, and then that'll turn into increased profitability as well.
So you're looking for the problem varieties, you're looking for the most labor intensive processes. I would imagine that these, I guess these strategies are applicable to growers of all sizes, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, large growers tend to have opportunities to move the needle a bit more because you make an incremental change, it can go a longer way. But every grower of any size has challenges they need to overcome every year. And, you know, again, pinpointing what those are, documenting so that you know what you need to improve upon, that gives you sort of the first step in improving that process, you know. Another one that I used to trial quite a bit is whether or not I could get away with a pinch or a no pinch on a particular item. Like, could I use a Florel application, let's say, to improve branching enough that I could eliminate a pinch on that crop? Obviously, that would eliminate labor, that would eliminate some sanitation risk, and improve the quality of the product overall. I think that was always a big emphasis for me. So those are the types of things that, you know, just continuing to utilize them, whether you're a small grower or a big grower, can improve overall quality within the facility.
No, I like that. That's probably some of the best advice I've heard in terms of trialing. And it does come right back to thinking of it in terms of a manufacturing setting, which I really like that analogy. So when I think back to our last STEM episode almost a year ago, you talked about executing a plan with timeliness and priority. Those were your two key words. When I named the episode, I took it right out of the comments and our pre-show discussion, timeliness and priority. So I know for a fact that you are all about planning. So can you talk about the steps that would go into a greenhouse trial strategy, or how someone looking to improve what they're doing today or begin a trialing process, you know, whether it's related to varieties or chemicals or processes? What are some of the steps that it takes to get ready for a greenhouse trial?
No, I think if you go to Google and you type in continuous improvement process or continuous improvement strategy, usually a lot of pictures will pop up, but they're very similar, like sort of a flow chart or a circle of a flow of what a continuous improvement process looks like. And really, to me, it comes down to four things. And, you know, the first one is identifying what that opportunity to improve is, right? So we talked about that. Do you need a better yellow marigold, or do I need to improve my production process here? You know, do I need to use rooting hormones to improve, you know, my success in propagation on a particular product? You know, so that's step one, identifying where that opportunity to improve is. And then the next step two, would be creating a plan around that. So analyzing the issue, right? Why do I need to get a better red geranium? You know, what's wrong with the current one? And analyzing whether it's the variety itself or it's your production process, and kind of building a plan around that so that you can have something to execute within your trial. Like, how do I want to overcome what my challenge is? Once you've kind of created that plan, then you execute the plan. That'd be the third step. So execute the plan with the new process that you put in place, whether it's, you know, replacing that variety or changing some production practice within your facility. You know, executing that plan would be step three. And then a big part of that step three is documenting what's going on within that execution. And then step number four would be reviewing that trial. Right. So reviewing the documentation, understanding whether or not the changes you made actually made a difference. And then you can feel good about whether or not you're ready to move on to that next step, which would be implementing this into production in a bigger way.
So speaking of implementation and execution, you talk about the importance of documenting. What about some other things that can increase the chances of a successful trial outcome?
I think really the biggest thing for growers to be successful with this is to allocate the right resources toward it. You need to really emphasize that it's an important part of your facility and your production. So if you're gonna put just a little bit of time or a little bit of resources towards it, you're probably not going to be overly successful. You know, just like anything else you do, if you plan for it and you allocate the right resources towards it, then you got a decent chance of success. So, you know, for a lot of growers, you know, finding someone within your facility that is going to be your trial manager, I think that's a really good way to ensure or increase the chances of success with the trial. Somebody needs to own that trial. And, you know, we see go around and visit growers. Some of our biggest growers might have an R&D department, and they might have a research and development R&D director, someone who that their entire 100% of their time is focused towards trialing and research and development. And smaller facilities might have, you know, one of their growers or assistant growers that actually does the trialing part of things too. But regardless of the size or what you put towards it, you do need to have somebody that owns that trial and really allocate, you know, that sort of human resource towards trialing. And then the second part of that, I think, would be making sure that person that is in charge of those trials has the necessary resources to be successful with it. So whether that's, you know, space within the greenhouse, they've got the time they need to do it. They're not, you know, bogged down by too many other jobs. They actually have the time to commit to executing and documenting trials. And then, you know, maybe they need some additional help, different employees to help them to execute that trial. And, you know, so I think those are really the two biggest things to increase your chances of a successful trial. It's making sure somebody owns that trial, somebody's really in charge of it and responsible for it, and that person has the right resources to succeed.
Nope, that's really, really good advice. I think that any strategy like that with a strong champion who has the backing of management has a much more likely chance of a successful outcome. So once the trial's concluded, you talked a little bit about the importance of review, which can sound easy, but I would imagine it's actually not, and probably even more critical than we're letting on here. So how do growers use the information or the data that they collect to benefit the decision-making and production plans in the future when it comes to the conclusion of the trial and potentially that review process?
Well, so I mentioned the data collection, right? And I think that's really a really, really important part of the trial, you know, executing it and creating a good plan. Those are all very important steps too, but you have to collect the data. You're only as good as that data that you're bringing in to the review process. And, you know, I think every grower out there's got a smartphone in their pocket or on their hip, and that is one of the best ways to collect data, right? We can pull this phone out with a great camera on it, and we can snap a picture every day when we walk past that trial if we want to. We can do it multiple times a day if we want to. You know, we have incredible technology to be able to document to our trials, and I think that's something that can't be lost on trying to you know, to be able to evaluate how successful the trial was and whether or not it's going to impact your future production plans. It's so important that the data collection is done right. You know, and I talked a little bit about crawl, walk, run. You know, I think that's a really good strategy as far as the actual future implementation of it. As you get that data collected and you feel comfortable that the trial was a success, maybe you go from 100 pots in the initial trial to 1,000 pots in the next set of the trial. And once you feel very comfortable with that, you move that to 100% of your production, you know, for that particular item, let's say. So I think that documentation is absolutely critical. And then, you know, setting aside the time to actually review that information that you've collected. And one thing that, you know, I don't think I mentioned was, you know, you have to do trials at the right time to really get the most out of them. And it's really hard when you're very busy in the spring to try to implement and execute a trial because, you know, you're running around like crazy. You're incredibly busy. You're working all the time. The facility is completely full of production. You have to carve out a little bit of space for those trials, and you have to do them in season if you want them to be successful, because it's really hard to evaluate how well a product's going to do in spring when you're doing the trial in the fall. So I think it's important that, you know, timing of the trial is also, I think, very important.
And I've gone into a lot of greenhouses with sales and technical reps, and that trial is sometimes lost in the back corner, or, hey, come look at the trial. Ooh, I forget where it is, or that space was just taken. So I think that comes back to allocating the resources of a person and the resources within the greenhouse to really give priority to that trial. So good advice, especially with the timing. I think that if you're really going to make a concerted effort to have a strong trialing strategy, you really need to get those resources allocated correctly. So before we wrap up here, what have we missed? Like, do you have any last ideas to help listeners with plant trialing and selection? We've spent maybe 25 minutes talking about it. I know it's a big topic. What have we missed? Anything else you want to share with the listeners before we wrap it up here?
Well, I think, you know, the biggest thing is making it a priority within your facility. And whether that's improving your production process or variety selection or, you know, the things you do culturally within the facility, making trialing a priority is huge. And that can go outside of just your own facility, right? That can be making a priority to go out and read trials in the summer. Maybe your regional trials, right? A university trial or an opportunity to go see how this product is performing in the middle of summer in a landscape setting. Making priorities for that kind of product performance, I think, is really important, because we talked about it earlier. The products that are performing for the consumer at the end of the consumer that buys that product from retail, you know, that's really, really important to bring that person back in to buy product again the next year. And so going out and reading those regional trials to see what works in your climate, in your region, I think is really important.
Great advice. And there are many trials at many different locations. I'm sure everybody knows where some of them are in your region, but maybe it should be a goal this year to go out and really find all of them and see how many you or someone on your team can visit. So I know that Ball Floor Plant and Selecta conduct tons of trials, and you guys are really, really good about sharing your findings, whether it's through videos or cultural recommendations. I'd encourage listeners to go to the Ball Floor Plant and Selecta North America websites to find a lot of the trial data collected. And some of this research is done for you, and the quick videos are great opportunities to see some of these trials in action. I will put links to those in the show notes. And Jason, if listeners want to talk to you or someone on your team about how to develop and implement a trial plans, somewhat like we've discussed during this podcast, what's the best way to get in touch?
Well, if you go to our website, at the bottom, there's a tab for Meet Your Sales Territory Manager. You can go in there and you can see which territory manager would be in your region. Their contact info is there. Reaching out to them is a good way to kind of get the ball rolling on building a trial if you need any help with that. But I'm, you know, kind of go back to what you mentioned on our website as well. We talk a lot about our trialed and approved message, and it's really sort of at the backbone of Ball Floor Plant genetics, and our product assortment is enormous amount of trialing that we do to make sure our product is checking all the boxes, whether that's for the grower or for the end user, the consumer, you know, and really testing and trialing out that garden performance messaging. And you mentioned we've got videos, we've got different trials on there. Our website's got great cultural trials. Our technical team's done a lot of work to build our resources that way for the growers, for our customers. But Chris Carlson, which I think you've had on on your STEM talks before, he does an awesome job with his trial peaks and his other BFP TV videos, where, you know, he'll video right there in the middle of a trial on a location and show how the product is performing in the landscape. And he'll make multiple visits, you know, and so in the same video, you might see 2 or 3 months worth of the same, you know, bed of say petunias or something like that. So just utilizing those kind of resources, I think, helps build confidence in our product and helps our growers feel good about the stuff that they're bringing into their assortment. So I think that's the best way for us to help growers out on that, you know, building a trial plan like we talked about, and get in touch with us. We're happy to help in any way we can.
That's awesome. And I think it's really sort of unique what Ball Floor Plant and Selecta do with the videos. You mentioned Chris's trial peaks. I will link to those videos as well, as well as to the Meet the Sales Territory Manager area of the website. I know all of those folks personally, and they are all excellent resources. They understand the region that you're in. They're going to give you extremely relevant information. And I think just about all of them have plenty of production experience to bring to the table and sort of give you real world ways to implement these trial strategies that Jason just talked about. So Jason, thank you so much for all of this fantastic information. Hopefully it'll inspire listeners to develop a more solid trial strategy moving forward. It sounds like the investment will pay off and then some. Thank you.